KJAN Sports.
Time for a look at sports. Good morning, I'm Jim Field. Our sports update this morning is brought to you by McAtee Tire and Service Center at 2nd and Poplar in Atlantic. See them for all of your automotive needs. Well, checking sports from around the area last night, Shenandoah hosting an early bird cross-country meet. On the girls' side, AHSTW wins the team title with 100 points. Shenandoah scored 131 for second, Tri-Center with 132 points, placing third. Individually on the girls' side, Peyton Poggi of Tri-Center was the champion, with Ryan Porch of AHSTW the runner-up. Mason Hartley of Clarinda, Tori Castle of Trainer, and Brenna Gottfried of Shenandoah round out the top five. Also in the top ten, Holly Heppner of AHSTW, Julia Cook, her teammate, they were seventh and eighth, and Chloe Falcona of AHSTW placed a tenth yesterday. On the boys' side, the individual results saw Noah Jorgensen of Sydney win, with Baylor Bergren of Red Oak placing second. Derek Thompson of Trainer was third. Justin McCunn of Red Oak and John McCall of Clarinda round out the top five. Also, Cole Dooley of Trainer was sixth. Caden Bryant of Tri-Center placing seventh. Tri-Center's John Frank also was ninth in that meet yesterday. In high school volleyball play last night at Logan Magnolia, a triangular held. It was Loma over Heartland Christian and West Harrison, both by 2-0 scores. West Harrison swept two games from Heartland Christian as well. At the Essex Triangular last night, it was Riverside winning twice, 2-0 over Essex and 2-1 over Bedford. Bedford also swept a pair from Essex. Also in girls volleyball last night, Stanton a 3-1 winner over Lennox. Nottoway Valley topping Audubon in three straight. Greene County beat Glidden-Ralston 2-1, and Glidden-Ralston over Collins Maxwell 2-0. The preseason high school volleyball rankings from the Girls High School Athletic Union came out yesterday afternoon. In Class 1A, Tripola is number one, with Sydney number two. Janesville, North Tama, and Lamar's Galen Catholic round out the top five. East Mills is in at number eight, St. Albert is nine, and Fremont Mills is ranked 11th in the preseason poll. In 2A, Western Christian, Osage, Beckman Catholic, Hudson, and Van Buren are the top five teams. Underwood is at number 11, with Tri-Center ranked 15th to open the season. In Class 3A, it's Mount Vernon ranked number one, with Kemper Catholic number two, Tipton, Dyke, New Hartford, and West Liberty the top five. Red Oak is number 12 in the poll. In Class 4A, Wallert Catholic of Dubuque is number one, with Cedar Rapids Xavier 2, West Delaware, Dallas Center Grimes, and Sergeant Bluff Luton the top five. Lewis Central is at number six, with Glenwood ranked number 12. Cedar Falls is top ranked in Class 5A to open up the season. Well, Radio Iowa had its high school football preseason poll out yesterday afternoon as well. Here's a rundown in some of those classes. In Class 4A, Dowling Catholic is ranked number one, with Waukee, Iowa City West, Ankeny Centennial, and Cedar Rapids Kennedy the top five. In Class 3A, Western Dubuque, Solon, Cedar Rapids Xavier, North Scott, and Pella are the top five rated teams. In 2A, Waukon, Boyden Hall, Rock Valley, Clear Lake, Crestwood, and Williamsburg are the top five. Kemper Catholic in at number nine in the poll. In 1A, it's West Sioux, Dyke New Hartford, Van Meter, West Branch, and West Lyon the top five teams. In Class A, West Hancock, Alta Aurelia, Wapsie Valley, St. Ansgar, and St. Albert are the top five teams. And in 8-man, it's Don Bosco on top. Newell Fonda is two. Fremont Mills in at number three. Turkey Valley and Remsen St. Mary's are four and five. Audubon checks in at number seven, with Lennox at number 10 in the early season poll. Iowa football coach Kirk Ferentz says receiver Oliver Martin will play in the opener against Miami of Ohio if he's cleared by the NCAA. The Iowa City native transferred to Iowa after spending 2 years at Michigan, and he filed for immediate eligibility.
We do hope to hear something this week. That'd be great and obviously timely, good, bad, or indifferent, but it'd be nice to hear something. I think that's realistic, and when we do, we'll make an announcement on that. But at this point, there is no decision.
Farron says he would like to see more consistency in how transfers are handled.
I'm not sure I have the right answers, quite frankly, or, you know, what are the answers. I don't know what they are at this point, but you know, it's certainly, I think the biggest thing all of us would hope for is just some consistency in whatever it is that we're going to do moving forward, just so we can kind of know what to count on, what not to count on, and not only in terms of interpretations, but also the timeliness of the process.
Ferentz says times have changed, but the way he interacts with players has not. He's set to begin his 21st season as the Iowa coach, and he says the Iowa offense hopes to make strides with senior quarterback Nate Stanley.
He's done some pretty heady things in terms of statistics and what have you, but most importantly, he's been a really good leader. He's only the, you know, second guy going into his senior. It was a two-time captain in the history of the program. I think it speaks volumes about him. I think the biggest thing he has to do this year is just first of all, try to enjoy it, the fact that he's a senior. He just has to go out and play his best, and if he does that, it'll be plenty good enough. I really believe that.
We'll have that season opener for you Saturday night here on the radio. 4:30 is the pregame start time. It's a 6:30 kickoff at Kinnick Stadium on Saturday. Iowa State coach Matt Campbell hopes to see a more multiple offense in Saturday's opener against Northern Iowa. Running back David Montgomery and receiver Hakeem Butler are gone, but the line is experienced, and quarterback Brock Purdy returns for his sophomore season from an offense that ranked 7th in the Big 12 a year ago.
We'd love the ability to attack in different ways, and certainly we didn't do that the last couple of years because we rode our best players. And, you know, I think now with some of those better players or veteran players being the quarterback and the offensive line, it certainly allows you to, I think, be a little bit more multiple in your attack and how you do things.
Campbell says a veteran offensive line will be counted on to help some young running backs mature.
There is a lot of a lot on their plate right now to be able to, you know, just steady the ship as we kind of work through who is that running back, who are those running backs, what do those moments look like, and not having to make one of those tailbacks be a superhero, not have to sit there and I don't have to be David Montgomery. I just got to be the best version of me I possibly can be.
Well, Campbell says the offense will face a challenge against a Panther defense that will show a variety of looks.
They are multiple. I mean, in so many ways, a lot of different fronts, a lot of different coverages. And I forces you, especially some young guys on our side of the football, to really be honed in knowing and really trying to identify. And I think that's the challenge with the first game. You know, you don't really know what you're going to get.
Campbell says the defense will also be challenged by UNI quarterback Will McIlvain. The redshirt freshman was going to walk on at Iowa State as a defensive back, but decided to walk on at UNI as a quarterback instead. That game kicks off at 11 o'clock in Ames on Saturday. A new era begins at Drake as the Bulldogs get set to open at North Dakota. It'll be the head coaching debut for Todd Stepsis, who takes over after serving as defensive coordinator. Saturday begins a challenging non-conference schedule for the Bulldogs that will include a trip to South Dakota State, a team that's ranked 3rd in the FCS.
And luckily for us, you know, when you talk about the FCS level, we are in the middle of the toughest conference at that spot. So anytime we've got a chance to play Missouri Valley teams, we're excited about it because it's going to show us where we're at that point.
Stepsis has installed a power run game this season. The Bulldogs averaged only 87 yards on the ground per game in 2018, and senior running back Drew Lauer led the way with 511 yards.
I love seeing a fullback in front of me. I love seeing some tight ends. We're going to run the ball, and I think our running back group is one of the best in our league, and I think we're really here to show that, and we're really excited to be able to go on the field and prove to them that we can run the ball.
Drake last visited North Dakota in 2015. They lost 21-18 in that contest. In Major League Baseball action yesterday, the Cardinals continue to lead the National League Central by 3 games over Chicago after Yadier Molina homered twice in a 6-3 victory at Milwaukee. Molina's second-round tripper was a 2-run blast that put St. Louis up 3-1 in the 7th inning. Miles Michaelis was reached for 1 run and only 4 hits while striking out 10 over 6 innings, helping the Redbirds to their 6th straight win. Elsewhere in the National League, Chicago beat New York 5-2, Pittsburgh over Philadelphia 5-4, Cincinnati topping Miami 8-5, Arizona beat San Francisco 3-2, and the Dodgers over the Padres 9-0. In the American League, Marcus Semien sparked the Athletics offense in a 2-1 win over the Royals, going 2-for-4 with an RBI and a run scored. Mike Fiers scattered 8 hits in 5 1/3 innings, but managed to win his 11th straight decision to improve to 13-3. That win allowed the A's to move a game up on Tampa Bay for the second AL wild card. Elsewhere in the American League, Cleveland beat Detroit 10-1, Houston over Tampa Bay 15-1, Minnesota beat Chicago 3-1, L.A. over Texas 5-2, New York beat Seattle 7-0. In interleague play, Baltimore over Washington 2-0, Toronto beat Atlanta 3-1, Boston 10-6 over Colorado. Well, two people familiar with the situation tell the Associated Press that the ownership of the Kansas City Royals is open to the possibility of selling the franchise if the right buyer is found. The Athletic reported Tuesday that team owner David Glass was in discussions with a group led by Kansas City native and Cleveland Indians vice chairman John Sherman, but the depth of those discussions is unclear, and one person told the AP that the club has been open to offers for some time. Well, there were moments on Tuesday when Naomi Osaka looked nothing like a number one seed or defending U.S. Open women's singles champion. She fell behind 3-love and wasted a match point in the second set while displaying questionable body language. But Osaka eventually found her rhythm and completed a 6-4, 6-7, 6-2 victory over Anna Blinkova despite finishing with 50 unforced errors, more than double her opponent's total of 22 in that match. American Sloane Stephens is out of the U.S. Open in the first round just 2 years after winning the title. The number 11 seed was stunned in straight sets by the 127th ranked player. Coco Gauff has won her U.S. Open debut with a comeback effort against her opponent, as the 15-year-old Gauff lost the first set and was down a break before posting a 3-6, 6-2, 6-4 victory. On the men's side, second seed Rafael Nadal remains undefeated in opening round matches at Flushing Meadows after a straight sets win over Australian John Millman. There were a trio of top 10 upsets on the men's side as fourth seed Dominic Thiem was beaten, eighth seeded Stefanos Tsitsipas was beaten in five sets, and number 10 Roberto Bautista Agut dropped a five-setter as well. That's Check of Sports this hour, brought to you by McAtee Tire and Service Center, your Goodyear dealer in Atlantic. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.